Blog Talk Radio.
Kobe Bryant and his daughter and her friends and some of the other teammates and the pilot. Such a tragic event.
That just shook me. Like, I couldn't sleep.
I didn't get much sleep yesterday, and it's amazing how, which I think this speaks to the importance of having empathy when it comes to other people and their experiences. I've never met Kobe in my life.
Never.
I can't even say that I am a basketball fan to that extent, but
he was like the poster. He was like the poster, not kid, but the poster face for basketball.
Right.
He's a fixture.
Right.
So we grew up with him.
We did. And he was from our generation. I think that makes a difference also. Because we lost other quote-unquote legends throughout our lifetime. But for him, it just felt like we knew him because we watched him grow up. And so my life experiences, what he's encountering, like this, so married, kids, and that he made for his family, that he made the main goal. So I think that made a long for him. And so he kind of managed what I had with the feast. But I had a man in his life. And how he discovered my experience that the behavior shot from the feast of charges. Because you're imagining the woman.
I love that.
yeah.
The traffic. The traffic is horrible.
Uh-huh.
So he's been doing that helicopter
ride
for some years now.
Right.
It's just that I don't think the weather conditions were fitting for like he was, because they grounded a lot of planes. They wouldn't let some planes take off.
Right. I did read some reports that there was a lot of fall.
A lot of fall.
Right.
What have you. So, oh my goodness. That's
it's really sad, and I think one of the interesting things about grief and other people's experiences with grief is that a lot of ways it can become a trigger for you and some of your experiences with grief and loss and trauma. And I think it's important for us, especially as we read social media posts and we share information, we share our feelings. I think it's important to understand that grief, we all respond differently to grief.
Uh-huh.
And we have to acknowledge that this experience could very well be a trigger for people. That, you know, understanding or acknowledging his wife's loss may be a trigger for you and the loss that you had.
Uh-huh.
And it also, because I even considered this, thinking about the person who has not experienced that type of relationship, that, you know, that kind of bond that she had with her husband, to now feel like, wow, I'll never know, you can say to yourself, I'll never know how that feels because I've never experienced that kind of love. So to lose your soulmate or this person that you depended on,
right,
what if you've never had that experience?
Right.
So now that could be a trigger for you. So a lot of times people are acting out, or, you know, we may be angry, or, you know,
or for me, one of the triggers for me was, I don't think I fulfilled me. I don't think I fulfilled my purpose.
Really?
Wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, God, please. You know.
Right.
Please let me fulfill my purpose. And I could very well have fulfilled it for him.
Right.
You know, but me, there are more things that I...
that you need to accomplish.
Yeah, that I would like to accomplish and set forth for you. So I'm like, Lord, please. You know, because he has done so much during his tenure as a basketball player. And afterwards, he wrote a series of children books. He did something with animation and won an Oscar last year. So,
oh, did he really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. But he had a basketball academy, Mamba.
Right.
Was going to play basketball last year. So he did a lot of things in basketball and outside of basketball or what have you. So it's just, you never really ready to see a person go, but unexpectedly, it's just a double win.
Right.
Unexpected.
I think that can, in some ways, be one of the benefits of experiences like this, that I hope that at some point, because I know initially you're shocked and it's unbelievable, but as the days go on and the mourning period moves on, that at some point you take a moment to reflect on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the Kobe Bryants in your family?
Mm-hmm.
Who are the Kobe Bryants in your community? Even you, are you a Kobe Bryant? Are you fulfilling your purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting up every day committed and, you know, making your family a priority? I want to believe that there's a father who saw the response that Kobe has received or is now being reintroduced to his relationship with his daughter, and it's inspiring that man to be a better father.
Right.
I want to believe that sometimes that's the fallout of experiences like this, is that it actually motivates a lot of us to be better, to want to do better. Because I know I actually thought that to myself, like, what would my legacy be? What would people say about me if something happened to me? And I want to believe that people would say great things, but I also want to leave an impact on the world. Maybe not to the extent of a Kobe Bryant, but that's why I say it starts in your home. You know, even if it's just your family, if that's as far as your impact goes, that's enough. And I think that's important to realize. And I say that a lot when it comes to outreach and us believing that we need to help 100 people, or I'll start feeding the homeless when I become a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to be a millionaire to feed the homeless. Take your leftovers from Thanksgiving or even dinner last night, take it up the street and feed the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
It really is that simple.
You don't have to have $1 million. Because I know my family, like our extra blankets and stuff, every winter we give our blankets to the homeless because it's cold. So it's like I don't need to have 50 blankets. I don't need to go out. I don't have to have money to go out and buy a bunch of blankets. As I, you know, redecorate and things like that, I take my old blankets and I take them down there and give them to the homeless. It really is that simple. And I think a lot of times we want to wait until, I'll do it next year, or I'll do it when I achieve this, or when I get this. No, you have to start exactly where you are with who is around you.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
And I think that's one of the lessons that we can all take away from not just the passing of Kobe, but the legacy that I think he'll live, that he'll leave on the world. Yeah. Yeah, so that's a huge loss. I'm glad that we're able to discuss that freely. I think one of the interesting parts of grief and this platform that we have is that it's always interesting for me experiencing grief as I'm helping other people through their grief. And I have those experiences, especially when I'm dealing with mothers who have experienced child loss, because my journey, I'm still on my own personal healing journey. So I have triggers for my son and my experience with him. So it's always interesting to me when I'm in the midst of helping someone and I have to deal with my own grief. And that's how I was feeling last night. It's like, how do I prepare for tonight's show when I really was grieving yesterday?
Yeah, I guess the first stage. Shock.
Yeah.
So I'm still in that stage.
I think so too. Yeah.
I'm still in that stage. It's like, man, what in the world?
Mm-hmm. And it's that feeling of, okay, I'll wake up and it'll be over or it'll be a dream.
Yeah, like, oh, okay. Because I just knew me. The other one, and I hope I was like, you know, somebody was misquoted or misquoted.
Right.
When they get down in
TMZ, spreading rumors.
You know, somebody will be alive. Like everybody ain't dead.
Right.
I'm just in shock. Still in total shock.
Right.
That took me.
Yeah, and it's a traumatic experience, which I think it's a great segue for tonight's discussion, where we're going to talk about trauma and forgiveness. When someone hurts you, when someone has violated you, when someone does you wrong, when someone disappoints you, whatever your traumatic experience is, how do you forgive that? Mm. Not just how do you forgive it, should you? Mm. Is it necessary? So I want to put that question out there before, as we go to this break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Mr. Kazuri Alameen. And he's going to help us explore this very important topic of trauma and forgiveness. So I ask that you go ahead and continue to stay tuned with us. You're listening to the Good Grief Girl Show here on Blog Talk Radio. And when we return from the break, we'll continue our discussion or begin our discussion on trauma and forgiveness. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back.
Radio. The topic for the hour is trauma and forgiveness. And we're excited to have Mr. Kazuri Alameen here with us.
Yeah. How are you doing? How are you doing?
Hey, Mr. Alameen.
Hey,
how are
you doing? How are you doing? I'm glad to be
We're
there.
Great.
Glad to be you guys. I'm excited. I'm excited. You guys have shared some wonderful information. You own it. I commend you.
Thank you. We're so excited to have you here. We want our audience to know that you have 35 years of experience in mental health, that you have extensive experience where you have motivational seminars, where you specialize with assisting people in battling their various family grief and addiction issues, which are so important. Our mental health has become such an important focus, I think, as we're evolving, I think, as a culture and as a society. We're starting to learn the importance of our mental health and also the power that we have over our mental health, that we don't have to remain in bondage by things that happened in our childhood or early adulthood. I think that's one of the awakenings that's happening now. So we're excited to have you. If you could, give us
Thank
a little
you.
Background about your experience.
Well, once again, I've been in the mental health business for over 35 years. I've worked at five different facilities in Metro Atlanta, and over that 39-year history, I've trained over 1,000 counselors and mental health technicians. I've also done groups for 38 of those years. So I'm very, very comfortable in dealing with, as you so eloquently stated, dealing with people with grief, loss issues, addiction issues, low self-esteem, family issues. So I'm very, very comfortable in this culture. I'm very, very comfortable. Everything we do and don't do in life starts in our mental health. Everything we do or don't do starts in our head.
That's great.
Yeah, and
that's
so
awesome.
I was listening to what you guys were saying about the trauma and the forgiveness piece. That is so very, very vital, because I've experienced some of those same vibrations you guys said you experienced it with the shock and awe. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, but it's good to be able to talk about it, because one of the things I learned in mental health, and I'm still learning, if you don't talk your emotions out, you're going to act them out. And when you act them out, 99% of the time, it's going to be in the negative.
Now that's
so important to talk. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I say that's a great point that you make, because Dr. Shanae actually has shared with us one of the experiences or one of the things that motivated her to become interested in this area of grief was realizing that a lot of her students were acting out as a result of the grief that they were experiencing.
Disinformed.
Right. And I think we're more open to give kids that grace when we need to give adults that same grace. Because one of the issues, one of the areas that we're exploring on the show is the different ways that you experience grief. So if you just went through a divorce, you know, there's some grief associated with that. And a lot of times we don't allow people space to not just act out, but avoid acting out and try to resolve grief that's associated with these different forms of loss that they've experienced.
Yes, ma'am, I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. And a lot of times, too, what we'll do is we'll project our own stuff on the other people.
Right.
Okay, and that double binds people, because all our experiences are the same. All our experiences are different. We can look at the same picture and get a different view. And we don't need anybody to undervalue our truth. Okay, that's very, very important. And because a person has to be where they are in that process. I call it PTO, which stands for peeling the onion. You got to take your time with this. It's not a rush job. You got to be where you are with this. And only you know where you are. You see what I'm saying? And you can read, you can listen, hear others as fine, but only you know where you are. And that needs to be okay. I think a lot of times people don't know that it's okay, because I've been educated this way, I've been indoctrinated this way, and he said this and she said that. That's fine, but they were not in your experiences.
Right. And you brought up a good point of being okay. A lot of times, especially when it comes to grief, I think we want to rush the process. And we want to dictate how everyone experiences grief. So because I experience grief a particular way, a lot of times people want everyone else to respond the same way. And, of course, I'm going to respond to my experience based on my life view or my worldview and the things that I experienced prior to that loss.
Right.
And I think that's important. That's an important point that you bring up, that, you know, we can only respond based on where we are at that moment. And
right.
And understanding that where we are will change.
Mm-hmm.
As my
yes.
life changes,
yes.
as I continue to experience life, mm-hmm. where I am in the moment changes, because my response to grief today may not be the same 10 years from now. Because
indeed.
I may be in a different
indeed.
Position 10 years from now.
Right. 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I know more.
We know more. Yes.
So
yes.
Doing
yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
So, what do you think, Mr. Alamin, are some of the symptoms of emotional trauma? Like, what are the signs? Like, if I want to, because a lot of times, especially when I think it comes to trauma and childhood trauma or just experiencing life, things start to pile on, and a lot of times we lose
mm-hmm.
sight of what the original issue was. So what do you think are some of the symptoms of emotional trauma?
Well, as we deal with the definition of trauma itself, that is a deeply disturbing experience, a deeply disturbing experience. An experience is anything that you go through, karma, anything that goes through you. And but even when mm-hmm. even with the definition of deeply, that's still different, because my deep can be different from your deep. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so as
uh-huh.
as we're dealing with certain pieces of the symptoms, one of the things I found out in doing group show for 38 years is, you know, you begin to get a lot of verbal and physical abuse when it comes to certain symptoms of emotional trauma. Okay. And then a lot of people mm-hmm. don't know how to deal with it. But whatever we've been through in life, regardless of where we may grow to, everything starts with the childhood, and then we go forward. So in a lot of my groups, I'll take people back to their childhood, in regards to their age, and then bring them back forward. Why? Because before you was an adult, you was an adolescent. Before you were an adolescent, you
yeah.
was a child. You had that experience existed, and that affects us
mm-hmm.
as adults. But a lot of verbal abuse comes along with emotional trauma, and then I've seen that graduate, unfortunately, a lot of times with a combination of verbal abuse and physical abuse. Because language is very, very devastating. People, sometimes we undervalue that. But what you say to people can be very, very devastating at times, especially
yeah.
when a person is coming from a person who has low self-esteem or they are very bitter themselves.
Mm-hmm. And I think
and
a lot of times, especially when it comes to verbal abuse, we accept some things as cultural and old. And, oh, that's just how they are, especially when we discuss this over the holidays where, you know,
okay.
a lot of people aren't enthused about visiting family because they're, or why aren't you married, or, you know, why do you have three different baby fathers? So it's these statements that we have in our own family. Right, it's your own family that we accept it as, oh, it's just a part of our culture. It's just, you know, that's how Black people are. When it actually hurts, it cuts
yes,
to ma'am. to hear that, you know, constantly, to be shamed for your body, to be shamed for mistakes that you may have had, you know,
to
hear that constantly, it can slowly chip away at your self-esteem.
Indeed. And then especially when you realize, like, you know, we're going to justify because it came from family, they don't make it right. By no means, you know. And then sometimes if our self-esteem is so traumatized, we have a hard time letting them know how we truly feel. Because it's family. But once again, that don't make it right because it's family. Some of your most devastating verbiage comes from family members.
Yeah.
At times. Not all the time, but certain times. Let's be real for a moment. And that's true.
Yes.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
What are some steps that we can take? Because I know it's hard to stand up for yourself, especially when you've been hearing for the last 25 years the same statements from particular family members and they feel comfortable. What does it take to actually stand up for yourself?
As you begin to find out who you are and you begin to get excited about your own internal spirit, that changes the complexion of things. When you're loving yourself, when you're by yourself, for yourself, with yourself, through yourself, that's a whole different way of living.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can really set those boundaries, I like to call it, whether you agree or not, that's not your issue, that's their issue.
Right.
So having a convicted self-esteem, it's a convicted self-esteem, that's very, very important.
convicted self-esteem.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I haven't heard that one. That's a good one.
Well,
what's the difference?
Yeah, because what happens is people will try to pull your thunder from you.
Mm.
You know, and when you are connected, I can say in my seminar, I tell people, where are you at in your private thoughts? Because we all got a sun side, we all got a moon side. And I say that by design. Where are you at in your private thoughts when you by yourself? When nobody want to know whether you're telling a lie or the truth but you, that's a whole different degree of healing. See, we've heard the verse before, to that own self be true. So where are we at with that? Where are you at with your own self? Are you true to your own self in your private thoughts? That's a whole different way of living.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. I love that. That's a great idea because we've discussed the importance of introspection and self-reflection. I think you bring up an excellent point of where are you in your private thoughts? A lot of times what we present to the world is our mask or what we aspire to be. However, when we're presenting that person to the world, we're constantly down-talking ourselves. We're constantly feeding ourselves negative words. So that's an important fact to bring up, that who are you in your quiet time?
Yes.
What do you really think about that? Yeah.
Indeed.
That's a good one. I love
that. Yes, indeed. Yeah, I think a lot of times when we hear, one of the things that I do in my groups, I call it tooling the onion, because, you know, that onion, we get one layer at a time. You don't get the whole onion, you get one layer at a time. And a lot of times, if you go to hear people speak or seminars or videos or CDs, however you want to verbalize it, and people get all excited, and before they get back to their cars, they're depressed again. Why? Because they got caught up in the fluff.
Mm.
You see? They got caught up in what I call a Kodak moment. Now, on the way back to your car, you're depressed again. That's why I said you got to deal with this. It's introspective. That's why I say everything we do, I don't do in this life, starts in the mind. But that's a process. It's like with forgiveness. You know, forgiveness is the process of forgiving someone or something. The key word is process. It's a process. It's not overnight. And I've seen too many people who want to, what I call, microwave their forgiveness because of what they've been told or what they read, and they don't even understand what forgiveness means to them. Can you see that? You know, you don't even want to have a great understanding of what forgiveness means, and it hurts a lot of people. It's a process. You know, there's a process, and then be okay with the process. Well, you may be in the process. That's part of the healing. It's okay. It's not how fast it is. It's how substantive it is. But once again, that comes down to that individual's experience.
Wow.
You
know,
how somebody's going to tell you.
Forgiveness is, a lot of times we think forgiveness is about saying, oh, I'm sorry. And then you say, I'm sorry. I say, oh, okay, I forgive you. And we're thinking that's it. But to your point, it's actually a process, which we all know true forgiveness is changed behavior. That we should see in your behavior. And I think to your point, that's a part of the process.
Yes. Because even when you mentioned about behavior, which is definitely very crucial, but one of the things that I teach is behavior is secondary. What do you mean, Mr. Kazuri? Because without an attitude, there is no behavior. So behavior is what you see. Attitude controls the behavior. So in order to get a changed behavior, you got to get a changed attitude.
Mm.
The attitude drives the behavior, not the behavior, not the other way around. You see? And so that's the process. You know, it's in my classes that I teach, I focus on the attitude because everything we do starts in head once again. Okay, you know, so if your attitude and your behavior don't fit, then we're dealing with hypocrisy.
Wow.
Because what you say and what you do need to align itself, and if it don't, then that's an issue. So I'm not concerned about the behavior. I focus on the attitude. because behavior is secondary, attitude is primary.
Mm-hmm. So would the attitude be your opinion or your view of whatever the violation is? Can you elaborate on that a little more? Like, how can I change my attitude before I change my behavior? What would change my attitude like?
One of the things that's going to give me a greater clearance is being able to understand why. Example, we talk about forgiveness, but I have to go inside of me to see, why do I want forgiveness from him or her? I mean, what does that mean to me? Do I even want forgiveness of him or her? I need to be healthy enough to question my own self. What is this going to do for me? Because, once again, you know, forgiveness is something that's happening to someone or something. So I have to ask myself, is that important to me? If so, why? I need to be clear on my own why. And that'll give me a way to push as to which way I want to go with it. I think a lot of times we miss that. And why do I want forgiveness? I do a seminar, not to digress for a moment, but I do a seminar called Is Forgiveness Necessary? And I'm not telling that person that it's not, but I share a lot of wisdom to allow that person to answer that question for him or herself. We hear it all the time, forgiveness is not for the other person. Forgiveness is not for you. Forgiveness is not for the other person, it's for you. But what does that mean? We begin to mimic a lot of stuff that has stopped with no substance. I did the group last night, and I was telling them, we hear about forgiveness all the time, but so did I forgive, example, John Doe at 2:30 on Tuesday, the sun was shining? What do you mean? Do I forgive at a certain time or a certain day? We never talk about that. We always hear it's for you, not the other person. But we never get specific about it. We got to break this thing down. And so if I forgive John Doe 2:30 on Thursday, how will I know? What happens in my spirit for me to say I've forgiven him? What has transpired? That's me talking to me.
Wow. So is there
a lot of times we don't touch that. We begin to. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I've been excited now.
The comment that you made is the question that I pose: is forgiveness necessary? Is there an answer to that, or is there? Can you answer that question?
Yes. There are times where it's not, and don't make that person a bad person. But we have to be honest about that. There are times at this particular time, example, at 8:30, maybe I'm not there today right now at this point. I'm not forgiving nobody, and I'm okay with that. That confession could change at 9:30, but I need to be healthy enough to tell myself that versus based on my indoctrination, I need to always forgive. No, not right now. Not right now. And then I can grow to that, but right where I'm in my life right now is not right now. Because a lot of things we do, too, we do a lot of what I call grief comparing, or we do a forgiveness comparing, and that's devastating. I got to deal with my own life. We all have a different DNA. So we need to be able to pivot where we are, versus where somebody told me, because it sounds good. I need to, there's a time when it's not time for forgiveness. And I'm totally comfortable with what I'm saying. I'm totally comfortable with that. Like I said, I've seen the devastation of, after 30 years in groups, I've seen the yay and nay of it. But there's a time where it's not time for forgiveness. I'm totally comfortable with what I'm saying.
So not forgiving, can that be explained as a part of the process? Because you did say today I'm not forgiving you. But that doesn't mean a year, 10 years from now I may not forgive you. So part of my process is getting to the point of forgiving you.
Right. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Like I said, and that's okay. That can change. But imagine saying you've forgiven somebody. I think you alluded to that a minute ago. Imagine saying you forgive somebody and you really are not there yet. That double binds your self-worth. Because I'm saying what I'm not feeling. You see? But where I can get to a point, I'm not going to stay stuck there. But right now, at this moment in my life, this is where I am. That's part of the healing process. And I think we don't talk about that enough. We don't talk about that enough.
So before you, to the person who thinks they're owed forgiveness, what questions are they asking themselves? This question: why do I want forgiveness? What is this going to do for me? Is that the question the person needs to begin with?
Yes, they need to get clear on their why. They need to get clear, and that why is personal. It's internal. So if I get forgiveness from him or her, what does that mean? What does that do for me? Why is forgiveness from this person based on what he or she did, why is that important to me in my life? And that's that person, I call it biofeedback. I encourage people to look in the mirror, so you got that biofeedback, so you're looking right at yourself. You're looking right at you and asking the question that me and you're discussing right now. That's a whole different way of dealing with it.
Wow. So I would imagine asking yourself that question, that your answer may very well be, I don't need it. So I don't need to forgive this person because it's not going to enhance my life. It's not going to bring me any peace. So why seek that forgiveness? If I ask myself a question and my answer is I don't need it, then I think we need to be okay saying I don't need that forgiveness.
Right, and you can pivot and not beat yourself up about that. You don't want to say it and beat yourself up. I made this statement. I'm okay with it. I'm at peace with it within my own spirit, and I pivot and I move on.
Yeah, because Ms. Alameen, there are people who who need to also be okay with the person not ever being able to forgive. Like, are you okay with your dad not being in your life for X amount of years? You know, he's not, are you okay with him not saying I'm sorry? You know, but now
right.
he's trying to make up for lost time. Now he's trying to come around. Are you okay with, you know, your mom? Whatever the case may be, you may
right.
not ever get that I'm sorry.
Right. And then sometimes, based on what that person's been through, they might be doing the best they can based on what they know.
Right.
You know, and
because yeah.
sometimes we go out,
yeah.
we get down forgiveness highway, and it has nothing to do with you. You just got caught up in it because it was somebody else's
mm-hmm.
stuff, and this person was having a bad hair day, so to speak. You see what I'm saying? You know, and that
yeah.
happens in life. You
yeah.
know, and it had nothing, to do
yeah.
with you. You tasted it, but it had nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be getting a whole grudge because somebody done, you know, made me angry or hurt me, and it had nothing to do with you.
Right.
And so what
I do,
even with forgiveness that we're talking about tonight, I encourage people to first and foremost, before they go anywhere else, to look inside, not to minimize what they've been through, but to look inside themselves first. Why? Because there are certain things all of us might need to forgive ourselves first before we go anywhere else.
Yeah.
So how are you forgiving yourself? You kind of get forgiveness from everybody else. How are you forgiving yourself for your yesterday and your yesteryear?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on now. You see what I'm saying? Let me start with me. It's easy
right
to project. You see, it's easy to project on somebody else, but what am I holding on that I need to forgive myself for that I haven't forgiven myself for yet?
Yeah.
And I cannot do that if my self-worth is fragile. I cannot look at that because it's easier to project onto somebody else than to
mm-hmm.
deal with myself.
Yeah.
So I try to encourage people based on not to minimize anything, but start with yourself first. You're talking about forgiveness, asking for forgiveness. Have you forgiven yourself for abusing
mm-hmm.
yourself?
And just like most things in life, that it always starts and ends with yourself. So that
Indeed.
Is the first person that you need to seek forgiveness with and from is yourself.
Yes, ma'am. But
yeah,
but once again, the key word is that that's a process. You know what I mean? It's
mm-hmm.
a process. Because, you know, it's natural to look outward before I go inward. So I got to work my way back inward. I got to work my way back. Be back to the word again. It's the process of forgiving someone or something. It is a process. It's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, Mr. Kazuri. When we come back, we want to continue this discussion on the actual process because this isn't something that I personally thought of before our conversation that forgiveness is actually a process. So I want us to explore that a little more because I think this is an important point that you're making here. So we're going to take this quick break and we'll come back. We'll continue this discussion on trauma and forgiveness. And you've been tuned in to the Good Grief Girl Show here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back right after this quick break.
Mm-hmm.
before we went to break, we were talking on an awesome topic, trauma and forgiveness, yeah, with our guest, Mr.
Kazuri Alameen. We're so happy to have you here. You're having a, this is a very enlightening conversation.
Yes, it is. So you're taking notes.
Yes. One of the things Shanae and I actually enjoy about this show is that we're learning.
Yes.
And we don't proclaim to be know-it-alls. You know, we're constantly in positions of learning. I think the best leaders are great students.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually learning a lot.
Because
I know me personally, this entire issue of forgiveness, this entire issue of forgiveness is something important. This is a spiritual value for me personally. And I've been of the belief, like you said, that forgiveness is for me, not you. And so I'm usually quick to forgive people, but I can also attest to, praise God, I have not experienced a lot of trauma in my life. So it's easy for me to say, oh, forgive your mother, because I have a working relationship with my mother. So, but to because I think these parent-child relationships, I'm learning now as an adult, I'm starting to see a lot of the breakdowns or gaps in a lot of those relationships that I just didn't realize existed, because I grew up with two parents who took care of me, and I always felt loved and all of this. But as an adult, I'm starting to meet people who felt like their parents didn't love them. And as a woman, I'm like, I can't imagine growing up feeling like my mother didn't love me. So it's hard for me to tell that woman to forgive her mother when you spent your entire life feeling like your mother didn't love you. So to your point, I think that that process of forgiveness that we have to allow people space to experience.
Yes, ma'am. You know, because as you were on break, I was thinking again, too, part of that process is being patient, too. It's being patient with the process. And like I said, if you can be patient with it, it gives you greater clarity. Because if I'm overwhelmed and I'm doing this and I don't see the big picture, then I'm still going to end up hurting myself.
Uh-huh.
So be patient with the process. It's a process. I mean, like old man told me one time, it took time to make time. So true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we don't have to rush this thing. But a lot of times we are pushed to rush it, especially when people project their own stuff onto you. Because as you were talking about your experience with your mom, over my years of mental health, I've dealt with a lot of people who have been physically, emotionally, sexually abused by their mother.
Yeah.
I work with this. I know.
Yeah.
I know it happens. So that's a whole different flavor for somebody to tell that person, well, you need to forgive your mom, you need to forgive your dad. You know, okay, not that we're not going to do it, but you need to hear my side of the story right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to get to forgiveness right now. I'm still hurt. I'm still angry. I'm still pissed. I'm still disoriented. Let me get there, and then we can talk about that. But right now, today, that's what I mean. Right now, we can't talk about that right now today. It's not that I'm anti by no means, but I've been physically abused by my mom for X amount of years.
Right.
You know, so that's why you have to individualize this thing. We can't be a collective. We can learn as a group, but we have to break this thing down and get a nugget of the day on an individual basis to get authentic healing and not artificial healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think also that relationship and let's call it the forgiveness relationship and allowing room for that patience that you speak of is understanding that a person can only offer forgiveness from the perspective of where they are. In this case,
yes,
if your mother never felt loved, if she's never experienced love, if she wasn't loved by her mother wasn't loved by her mother, that's how we create these generations of trauma. So you actually have to have patience when it comes to understanding that a lot of the trauma that we're experiencing is actually generational. Your mother is abusing you because more than likely she was abused.
Yeah.
Not to excuse her behavior. However, we have to allow some patience there.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. We need to be able to talk about it because if not, we're going to act it out. You know, and so, because like you said, it's a lot of, I've worked with it. I know what you're saying is very real. It's a lot of generational stuff. You know, and then, so we got to talk about this thing. We got to just be very patient with it. Once again, we don't need to microwave it. We need to crock pot this thing.
Mm-hmm. And also,
you know,
I think one of the realities of generational trauma is that every generation, like, we have access to information that our parents and our grandparents didn't have access to. So a lot of the tools that we have, a lot of the beliefs that we have, they're not sold on those beliefs, one being therapy. I think it's harder. It's easier now. Millennials are they're huge proponents of mental health therapy. Our generation, I think we're kind of iffy. Our parents, grandparents, they're like, oh no, you don't need that.
Yeah.
So now, you know, I think that also plays into the trauma that we're experiencing and the forgiving relationship that we're trying to foster. Is that a lot of times we just have different understandings and values when it's surrounding forgiveness.
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah, I concur with you 100% because, you know, a lot of times you think about mental health, some people are very quick to say, I ain't crazy. It has nothing to do with it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, so what
I started to put in a
different perspective, whereas my settings are intimate enough where a person will feel comfortable enough in being able to share. You know, but after all my years of experience, I'm real good at that. You know, I'm not trying to put anybody on the defensive. I'm not trying to make anybody uncomfortable. Let's look at this thing a different way. Let me do this a different way. Because knowledge is what you learn. Wisdom is what you live. There's a difference. You know, it can be done. Knowledge is what you learn. Wisdom is what you live. Wisdom gives you that's where your conviction comes from in your wisdom. I mean, yes, it's good to have a know-how, but a lot of people got knowledge, but they're not doing what they know. So that's zero times zero is zero. You see, so you got to put this thing into action, you know. But that is a process again, you know. And I strive to be sensitive in taking a person where he or she may be. And like I told a lady last night, 5 + 4 = 9, but 6 + 3 = 9, 8 + 1 = 9. So come on, where you want to go with it? We can go where we got to go.
Right.
See, that's like get caught up on the logistics, and then we become judgmental and. And then it didn't, but I got the truth and you got a lie. It ain't about that. It ain't about that, you know, but a real system and taking a person where he or she may be. And I've dealt with from kids as young as 4 to geriatrics as old as 89. It doesn't matter. Take a person where she may be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of trying to push somebody where you want them to be, it has nothing to do with you.
Now, I'm guilty of that. I will admit that I'm guilty of wanting people to be who I think they should be. And,
yes, ma'am.
And I'm learning to let go of that because, one, I think it places unrealistic expectations on myself and my relationship with people. And I'm learning to allow people, when I say people, I'm talking about those who are close to me. Allowing them to be who they want to be. Even
ma'am.
I feel like, oh, man, you would make a great football player. But he's like, no, I want to play soccer. So, I mean, that may not be a good example. But
that's a great example. That's a great example.
Me personally, I'm guilty of that.
Well, I think we all have been in one type or another, and that's okay. Once you recognize it, then you can deal with it. You know what I mean? Then you can, as I say, then you can own it, and you can pivot from there. You know, we've all been there, you know, because I, you know, the stuff I'm telling you now, this stuff came through experience. I started like in the gate, I'm trying to save the whole world. You got to do it my way. I know all this. I didn't know nothing. I was a novice.
Right.
You know? So the school of experience takes no vacation. Now I'm speaking from experience now. You see what I'm saying? In the school of experience, not only does it take not take a vacation, it's open 24/7, 365. There's no fall or summer, winter break in life. We're going to live until we die. That's real talk.
Come on, that's real. Yes, that's good. You have been so enlightened. Tell us a little more about some of the services that you offer, because you keep mentioning the courses and the mental health. Are these one-on-one seminars, or is it groups?
I do one-on-ones. I do one-on-ones. I do groups. I do families. Like example, I did a seminar last week on grief and loss. It was delicious. It was very delicious, but. Going to segue into February, I'm going to be at the Villa Rica Library. Of course, it's in Villa Rica, Georgia, on February the 15th. Start time will be from 10 a.m. until 11 a.m. I'm going to be doing a group on where is your self-esteem? Where is your self-esteem? And I go ahead on to break those nuggets down, and it's all about human development for me. That's what it is, about human development. And I have certain modes that I use to help people to understand where they are. But the settings are intimate. Like I said, it's non-judgmental. And I'm bringing all my experience to the table, and the groups are dynamic. They are very dynamic. But this is the next group that I have planned for next month.
And those are open to the public?
Yes, they're open to the public, because I can, you know, people can sign up through the library, or they can sign up at Speaker Alameen on our Facebook if they want to come. Yeah. And
awesome.
The group is from 10 to 11.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yes,
a great
ma'am.
Service to offer.
Yeah. And it's needed for the
yeah.
community as well.
Indeed. You know,
especially that those moments of looking inward. I'm a
yes.
huge proponent of self, that love
yes.
starts with yourself. In this case, forgiveness
yes.
starts with yourself, that it's important to examine why we feel the way that we feel, why we respond to people the way that we respond to them. You know, and I learned, I think one of the biggest lessons that I learned early on in my motherhood journey is that I realized
yes,
how when I was stressed, how
okay.
it impacted how I parented. And that's when I started
mm-hmm.
to take notice of, okay, when I go off on people, or when you're short-tempered with, you know, people in line at the grocery store, what's really driving that? A lot of times
right.
it's not that you're upset because that person cut you off in the parking lot. You're really upset because, you know, you don't have enough money to buy grocery, or, you know, some other issue that you're dealing with, and you're just taking it out on that person. So I think
yes,
to your point, it's always important to examine yourself and think of why you're responding the way that you're responding. Why do you feel the way that you feel? And what's your view
and
of yourself? That way when other people
yes.
call you outside your name or call you names
yes,
or say negative things about you, it doesn't pierce you as much because you don't
yes,
right, because
ma'am.
You're confident in who you are.
Yes, ma'am. And you said it so eloquently, and that is a process. You know, we call it in the trade, that's that transference. I ain't going to do it myself,
mm-hmm.
so I'm going to transfer it to you.
yeah.
Right. Yeah. But that's
Ooh,
but that is,
that
but what's going to be back to the process, be back to the process.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that also, you also bring up the point where that makes it important to be careful who and what circumstances we're surrounded by, because that transference
yes.
does take place. Because if you have if I realize that you have a lot of issues going on in your life, it's just a matter of
right.
time before you start throwing that stuff off onto me, because now you want to get rid of it.
Indeed. I mean, it's natural. And energy is very real. The older I get in life, I'm convinced energy is very real. It's very real.
Yes.
Positive and negative is very real. You know,
uh-huh.
so but when you recognize, you can deal with it differently. You see what I'm saying? Differently by design, not right or wrong. Let me deal with it differently. You know,
mm-hmm.
and once I get to that level, I can deal with it differently. You know,
yeah.
but that in itself is a process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a process.
Yes, well, we thank you so much
yes.
for sharing your wealth of
yes.
information with us. This was a great conversation that we had. We thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on to our show, accepting our invitation to share this
yes.
space with us to help elevate us and our listeners to a better place where we can examine ourselves
yes.
and understand the relationship of trauma and forgiveness. So we thank you, Ms. Alameen.
Yes. Ms. Alameen, before you leave, can you tell our listeners again how they can find you?
They can connect with me on my email, kazuri.alameen@yahoo.com. That's kazuri.alameen@yahoo.com. I could be contacted that way.
Perfect. And that's kuzuri.alamin. That's how you spell his
name.
Yes, ma'am.
For our
listeners.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yay! Yes, ma'am. Yay! And also, before you guys, ladies, go, I want to thank you all. It's not a one-way street. I want to thank you all for having me. One of the things that life has taught and continues to teach me, I take nothing and no one for granted. So I thank you both from the bottom of my heart for having me. I thank you both, authentically speaking. Thank you very kindly.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Awesome. So, guys, we hope you've enjoyed tonight's show, where we have, I hope, exposed the importance of trauma or understanding the different types of trauma you may have experienced in life, and also taking ownership of the process of forgiveness.
And the purpose of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Of where you are right now. in your life.
And being able to be honest about not just your experience, but also allowing other people to be who they are, where they are. And I think if we didn't receive anything else from tonight, we have to be okay saying I'm not ready to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely okay to say I'm not ready. And allowing that process to happen,
mm-hmm.
giving yourself patience and giving other people grace so that they can practice that patience to work through that process of forgiveness.
And also becoming at peace with that person never being ready to forgive.
Yeah.
I mean, because some people just feel like they don't need to.
Mm-hmm. That may be the answer for you, and you're okay with that. As long as it's not robbing you of peace, it's not keeping you stuck, you're not bitter. Sometimes it's okay that's the reality of that relationship. That's the best that my mother or my father could have done, and I'm okay with that.
Right.
And I'm able to move on.
Right.
So we want to thank Mr. Kazuri Alami for stopping by and dropping so many nuggets on us. We will be sure to recap for our audience this, and we want to make sure that you follow us on social media.
Yes, please join our Facebook group, Good Grief Girl, and subscribe to our Good Grief Girl YouTube channel.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram at goodgrief_girl.
Thank you again for joining us this evening. Continue to help us as we reframe grief conversations.
Yes.
Join us next Monday on Blog Talk Radio at
goodgriefgirl.com. We'll see you next Monday, 8:30 p.m.
Woo-hoo. Let it go.